has the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anside Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio. It is October the 11th, 2016. The election's getting crazier. The world's getting crazier. It seems like everybody is at each other's throats over everything to do with politics. This is a time that we need to come together. We need to ignore what the media is doing to us. It's not only just the media, it's social media. People are at each other's throats. We need to love our neighbors. We need to love our family members. We need to stop with all the divisiveness, because that only plays into the hands of what we're seeing with corporate media on TV now, the whole nonsense. It's everything has gotten completely out of control. The last debate that we had, that was real life. That wasn't an episode of Saturday Night Live. This is what politics has become in this country. And the media is making it a million times worse by keeping everyone fighting amongst themselves. One thing I can say for certain, while personally I'm not a fan of Trump, I'm not a fan of Hillary, you keep hearing over and over and over, well, the polls say, well, the polls say, well, the polls say Hillary's going to win. If that were true, if these polls were accurate, then why is everybody freaking out? Why is everybody making such this huge, grandiose, it's the end of the world, it's the end of the world? Look, I don't see a positive outcome personally with either of these candidates. I don't know how any rational person could. And then, of course, we get into, for whatever reason, human nature, I guess, we see how people, if you talk bad about Trump, well, you're a Hillary supporter. Or if you talk bad about Hillary, well, you're a Trump supporter. You got to pick one. You've got to pick one. That's why we're in this mess. That's why we have this problem that we have today, is because everything is just so black and white to everybody. Well, you have to be this way or you're that way. And people want to judge each other. People want to point fingers. They want to get absolutely crazy emotional because, oh, somebody has a different opinion than I do. I think ultimately, deep down, the majority of Americans know this is a joke. What we're seeing right now, this is an absolute farce. I don't know how anyone could say any different. It's just sickening what it's become, what we have become. And we don't have to be this way. We have to ignore all the noise. We have to ignore the lies that we're being told. For instance, we have now round three of the Podesta leaks coming out from WikiLeaks. We're going to talk a lot about that tonight. But just one revelation that we found out is that Hillary is talking to John Podesta in her emails about what to do with ISIS and acknowledging that Saudi Arabia is funding ISIS. Do you understand that the United States government just recently voted to give Saudi Arabia over a billion dollars worth of arms? Barack Obama, since 2015, I believe, has given them over $22 million, sold them over, or $22 billion, excuse me, of weapons. We're complicit in this. These people know, they're admitting that they're funding ISIS, and yet we're funding the people funding ISIS. So where's our money going? They know where it's going. It's going to what we're supposedly fighting against. That's what a joke this has become. How in the world people aren't waking up to this, I don't know. We just saw the bombing in Yemen with the funeral. U.S. weapons, bombs, manufactured in the U.S., scattered all over amongst the debris. No big deal. No big deal. That's a huge deal. But what does the media talk about? They talk about, well, this person said this, this person said that. Look, that stuff people should know about, but that doesn't mean that you stop airing everything else going on in the world to focus on this nonsense. We've become a post-Kardashian society. Everything is TMZ. Everything is the E! Network. We literally have been consumed in this country by something that was said on Access Hollywood 11 years ago. And that's supposedly legitimate news. This is a joke. Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and bring on a co-host for the night, Mr. Kevin Knight. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, man, not too much. Good to be back with you.
You too, sir. A lot going on in the world. I don't even know where to start with this stuff.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It really is. What I tell you what, we won't get into it too much, but what was your take on Sunday night's debate? It was certainly entertaining.
Yeah, it was definitely. It was entertaining, that's for sure. I think kind of more of what we expected, or at least more what I expected. Donald kind of went after, and Hillary did her thing. But, yeah, a couple of one-liners in there that I couldn't help but chuckle at, even if I disagree with them in principle, if they were applied, such as his, of course, Trump's comment that really got everybody laughing about Hillary being in jail. I got a kick out of that, although it's been the question has been raised, you know, hey, what does that necessarily mean if we start getting, you know, presidents and administrations locking each other up? So, but I enjoyed it, I guess, if you can say that.
It's, you know, pay-per-view, isn't it? It's a Vince McMahon-produced spectacle. I thought Trump pulling out the women was interesting.
I was for that. Did you not think he would do that the first debate? Or do you think that was part of it, was to wait to the second debate and start getting fired up?
I don't know. I said, you know, a year ago, if he made it through, he would do stuff like that. And then it kind of looked like he was just going to kind of go through the routine of the normal politician. And sure enough,
He pulled out the card and he went for it. You know, I'm just waiting on him to, you know, go off on the Vince Foster stuff and Mena, Arkansas, and the cocaine, and who knows what all he'll talk about. It'd be funny. I'll say that. I mean, it's amusing because if I look at it, of course, everybody knows, you know, it's a bad situation. But the Clintons, from all evidence, are terrible people. Donald Trump makes fun of handicapped people. He makes fun of, it seems like, anybody that gets in his way. He's crass, rude, no class whatsoever. Just doesn't seem like a very good person at all. But neither are the Clintons. So it's like, well, if you're going to have somebody go after, you know, attack somebody, at least somebody that deserves it.
Definitely. You know, Donald Trump, for as horrible as a person he is, he doesn't have the blood on his hands that the Clintons do, and that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, but we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. Everybody, of course, believes that she's about to wrap it up and win.
Do you think she will?
I'm still looking at the 1980 election, man. It was, everybody was talking about, Jimmy Carter's going to beat Reagan. Jimmy Carter's going to beat Reagan. It's so close. And when it all came out in the wash, it was, you know, 44 states to 6 states in favor of Reagan. So I kind of feel like
that he's got shot. Either you feel like he's got a shot, Trump, either way, despite what we're being told.
Oh, I think specifically because of what we're being told, he has a shot, unquestionably. Look, we've still got till November the 8th. It's October the 11th. Who knows if they'll be the two candidates by then? I mean, that's how crazy this is, because there's going to be so many October surprises come out. There's no telling what else is going to come out about Trump. There's no telling what's going to come out about her. That both parties may have to just send them off into the sunset in disgrace. I mean, who knows?
Well, that does sound what the GOP is really. I've really been surprised how many people have come out to disown him and to speak, you know, and take back, rescind their endorsement. A lot of big time GOP folks that I really didn't see doing this, especially not you know, at this point in the game. You know, like you said, a month out, a little bit less than a month. You know, he's losing a whole lot of a few more of his endorsements are quickly dwindling. So yeah, you're right. We've got plenty of time. Let's see how many more he's going to lose. It's going to be interesting.
And then you take into account that it's probably going to be a messy election, truth be told. And then we've got till January till they're sworn in. Who knows what's going to happen? Truthfully, who has any clue where we'll end up? We could have Paul Ryan as president when this whole thing is over.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it is what it is. I'm going to go ahead and – go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're good. We'll bring it up later.
But I want to jump real quick into touching on a topic which has got to do with this presidential election, but it's got to do with a lot more. It's got to do with the last one and the one before that. People realize that we just passed the 15th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. 15 years. It's the longest war in U.S. history. Still hasn't been officially declared, because why would they do that? It's what Obama called the good war before he took office in 2008. We've got a story right now on the front page of the antimedia.org. It's actually an op-ed written by former Congressman Ron Paul. 15 years into the Afghan war, do Americans know the truth? I want to read a little excerpt of this, Kevin, and kind of get your reaction to it. But it's really just a sad, sad day that this is the state that we're in now. President Obama called the good war before he took office in 2008 has become the forgotten war some 8 years later. How many Americans know that we still have nearly 10,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan? Do any Americans know that the Taliban was never defeated, but now holds more ground in Afghanistan than at any point since 2001? And off topic real quick, or on topic, but do people realize that the war on terror has caused over 6,000%? I know that number sounds astronomical and made up, but it's
legit. It's real, yeah.
Yeah, over 6,000% more terror in the world. That's what the war on terror has done. And as I was talking at the top of the show, we know that it's being exported and funded via Saudi Arabia and the Saudi coalition, which is in Yemen right now. We know that, and we're funding all that. We're friends with these people. No problem. No harm, no foul. It started on September 11th. We just had the 28 pages released. We just had Congress acknowledge that the Saudis were at least involved in the funding of 9/11, and that these people are our friends. Anyways, I'm going to go back to the Ron Paul op-ed. Do Americans know that we are still wasting billions on reconstruction and other projects in Afghanistan that are at best boondoggles? According to a recent audit by the independent U.S. government body overseeing Afghan reconstruction, $500 million was wasted on a contract for a U.S. company to maintain Afghan military vehicles. The contractor failed to meet program objectives, the audit found. Of course, they still got paid, like thousands of others, getting rich off of this failed war. Do Americans know that the government has spent at least $60 billion, $60 billion to train and equip Afghan security forces. Yet these forces are still not capable of fighting on their own against the Taliban. We recently learned that an unknown but not an insignificant number of those troops brought to the U.S. for training have deserted and are living illegally somewhere in the U.S. So they basically just got a free ride over here, which, can you blame them for wanting to leave Afghanistan? I don't think anybody can. That's one thing. That's one thing people overlook when we talk about, you know, the refugee crisis. Why are there refugees? Well, it's because we went and blew apart the Middle East. Perhaps Afghanistan is the forgotten war because to mention it would reveal how schizophrenic U.S. foreign policy is. After all, we've been fighting for 15 years in Afghanistan in the name of defeating al-Qaeda. Why? Meanwhile, we are directly and indirectly assisting factions of al-Qaeda to overthrow the Syrian government. Like, that's bonkers. They're funding every side of everything in Syria. And it's, the outcome's just chaos. Well, the outcome, it appears, could drag us into World War III because, as you well know, Kevin, we talked about it many times on this show, the situation with Russia, that's a serious, serious, serious deal. How many Americans would applaud such a foreign policy if only they knew? But thanks to a media only interested in promoting Washington's propaganda, far too many Americans just don't know what's going on. Do you see it turning around? I mean, is there, you know, I think this election, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think we're going to see a drastically different country on some level when this has all come out in the wash with this election. You've got people going to political rallies now chanting FCNN. People are tired of being told by corporate media what to believe, what to focus on, who to support, what war to support, who's bad, who's good. It's obvious that the media, whether by its
own doing or being told by someone somewhere, their objective is to keep people divided. I don't see it any, maybe I'm wrong, but that's at least my impression. They want to keep everybody divided. I think they certainly have done it with the police shootings in this country. First off, that's a problem that needs to be dealt with. But again, the media wants to make it's all one side against another. It's black versus white. It's this. It's we're all people. We're all in this together. If the least of us are getting harmed and killed, then it's happening to all of us. And we need to remember to stand up for people and come together in these situations. But again, that's not what corporate media does. It's more divide and conquer, especially at a time where we have all this foreign policy business going on, which is super duper serious. I know everybody's talking about with the election. Well, the Supreme Court, all that's coming up. That's all serious stuff. I understand that. But if whoever the next president is drags us into World War III, all that's going to be irrelevant. So, look, you got Trump's vice president. To Trump's credit is the crazy stuff he says, and B, I don't trust anything that comes out of his mouth either. But I will say at least he didn't go along with Pence saying, yeah, we should bomb him. Every single other person says that. Yeah, let's go bomb him. Hillary's talking about a no-fly zone. I know everybody's making the joke because the fly landed on her face about it or during the debate. But
that on Bob, too. Something about those authoritarians. Those flies are just attracted right to them, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. But to implement a no-fly zone in Syria, does nobody realize what the consequences of that are? They don't. I know they don't, because they're not being told by CNN, NBC, Fox News. They're not. They're being told about something that happened on Access Hollywood. Let's talk about the real implications of these people being in power. I tell you a thing with Trump that really scares me. Nobody ever talks about it. Is his, what is it, his safety zones? Is that what he's calling them?
I'm not, I don't know if I'm familiar with this one. Was this the economic zones or is this the, is this the, where he's wanting to take, I guess, refugees and set up areas in the Middle East and rather than bringing refugees elsewhere? Is that the safety zone you're referring to?
Oh, yeah, safety zone is what he's calling it. But, yeah, it's... Well, he's talked about doing it here, too, I believe, if I remember that correctly. But that's terrifying in and of itself. I don't know. I think they both have allegiances to the corporations that are running the show. And I think
if they don't, they're going to be forced into bed with them regardless.
Well, Hillary already is. I mean, that's over and done with. And I just, for me, I just do not trust a word that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. I don't. I finally thrown up my hands and said, well, why can't we just have Gary? Who cares? But of course, that's never going to happen in a million trillion years. But yeah, at this point, I'm all about having a president that don't know where any place in the world is. That's fine. Let's just do that. Let's go with that. It's just like he said. It's like he said, if he doesn't know where it's at, how can he bomb it? Fair enough, Gary. It'll be like having a Gerald Ford in office all over again, just running around tripping over stuff. Another Homer Simpson, a stoned Homer Simpson.
Let me ask you, we've heard, getting back just for a second to the Russia thing, to me, this is one of those things where, like a lot of people over the years, if you've been into this stuff like a lot of us have, we've seen a lot of instances, a lot of events that have really kind of would make the average person stay up at night, potentially, make you lose a little bit of sleep. And this is not the first time that we thought that the U.S. was heading off straight into another huge war. You know, we talked last show, I believe, about how the last time we looked at we're facing war with Russia, that you know, it was able to be kind of postponed and pushed back. It doesn't look like we're necessarily going to be able to achieve that this time. Do you think that that seems – is that – you know, first, I want to say that Clinton and Trump and Pence getting up there and talking and making these statements, oh, we'll do this and we'll bomb Russia and we'll bomb this and we'll bomb that. You know, we're used to hearing that kind of big talk from these talking heads, especially when they're trying to make a point and appeal to the statist, patriotic, nationalist nature of some of the people. But do you think this is legitimately – I mean, is this something that the U.S. government, the federal government, the entities, that the powers that be, is this something they legitimately want? Or do you think this is they literally want a war with Russia, or this could possibly just be another way of using tensions to some other cause or other end? It's just hard to believe that anybody will benefit from what could potentially kick off. Really, I mean, we're potentially looking at global impacts. Really scary stuff, man.
It is, and I'll say this, and you know, a lot of our listeners and me and you both, I think, we're too young to remember the real craziness of the first Cold War, especially, you know, in the 60s. It got serious. Like, we were close to a world war quite a few times. And luckily, they avoided it. As far as now, I don't know what they want to do. I agree with you. What's the point? But their actions have consequence. They have to realize that. And we have Hillary Clinton in that debate screaming about WikiLeaks and Russia. Everything's Russia's fault. Everything's Russia's fault. It seems like anything that goes wrong, they're intentionally trying to put it on Russia. Like, they're trying to stir something up with Russia. Clearly, the situation in Syria is heading towards a showdown with Russia, especially with some of the actions that these politicians want to take. It's no secret that they want Assad out of power. Look, they got Saddam Hussein out of power. How did that work out? They got Gaddafi out of power. How did that work out? And now they want to go do it in Syria, except they're getting met with a much more equal foe, because Putin's there, got his back.
Backed up by China.
The United States doesn't care. Right. And, you know, once that kicks off, there's no going back. And that's one thing Putin has repeatedly said. Once this starts, there's no going back. Like, this is going to have heavy consequences. I don't know why they would want it either. I genuinely have no clue why they would want to do this. But their actions at least tell me they have to know what they're doing. And it's leading us down a really dark path.
You know, I was reading an article that I believe Claire shared, maybe one of the other anti-media journalists shared, and they were talking about, I want to say it was the Department of Defense, had made a statement, and to paraphrase, they had decided that they were looking at other options. They no longer believed that Assad had to actually be removed from power, and that any attempts to remove him would probably end up being negative consequences and repercussions. And that was one spokesperson from one of the alphabet agencies. And I know we've seen that several times before. It seems like a few weeks ago we heard the same thing, that, oh, well, we don't want to see Assad go. We don't want to see Assad go. We're not after Assad now going. We can do something else. But inevitably, it'll be back to Assad. Assad's got to go. So, you know, it makes me wonder if the U.S. at least was not just trying to put, you know, it seemed as chaotic and psychotic as it is, or not trying to push Russia and push them and back them up and just walk right up to that line and then say, okay, well, maybe we'll do something different. It really makes me wonder if they're just trying to see how much they can get away with
and really, you know, almost use extortion, you know, do anything they can, and then blame Russia for trying to be an instigator of World War III when obviously it's the opposite.
Yeah, it's sad, but it is the opposite. So it appears, you know, it's not like Russia's been in the Middle East for the past 15 years blowing it apart. It's been the United States. Look no further. We just got done talking about Afghanistan. What is there to show for any of that?
Oh,
people
shit.
Have made, I mean, a lot of money.
And a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of dead veterans. You know, a lot of suicide veterans have killed themselves, and a lot of even civilians have gone to work for the military because contractors have killed themselves. So hard to argue that there's been anything good come out of that whatsoever.
And that's one thing I think people overlook is, first off, they cloud the numbers of how many troops we have because there are private contractors over there. And then, of course, they have advisors. But we said, well, you know, look at the numbers in Vietnam versus the numbers in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's not even comparable. But you have all these soldiers coming back over here. What is it, like 20 a day that are committing suicide?
Yeah, I think I saw 20, I think 22 a day, actually. They had a push-up challenge for that, I think, last month. It's probably
That's
actually
outrageous.
Higher than that.
Outrageous.
It is.
That's
it,
outrageous.
It did you happen to see the story? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
For nothing, for money. For money and power. But I was going to ask if you saw the story about the all the veterans' bodies that were dumped in the landfill up north here. As a story came out, I think, last year, that all of these remains, like a ton of remains from these veterans that were killed in these wars, their bodies were literally dumped into landfills with the trash that you know, that you and I, the restaurants, and all the trash swept up from the streets that are all come together in some nasty field out in some city corner are now filled up with the remains of a ton of veterans that went to war for nothing. Well, for arguably for nothing. Nothing good, anyways. God, can you imagine that?
That's just disgusting. That's disgusting. And yet, all these politicians use troops as pawns in their game. Y'all, you got to support the troops. You got to support the troops. Let me tell you something. To me, supporting the troops is not sending them to die for absolutely no reason. It's not sending them overseas to come back and be screwed up for the rest of their life for no reason. It's not sending them overseas to come back for them to kill themselves for no reason. And yet, support the troops, support the troops, support the troops. To me, supporting the troops is not having them do any of that, not having them go through that, not having them have psychological issues because of what they've seen, because of what the government had them do. To me, that's supporting the troops. But no, not to the government. Supporting the troops are, we're going to send them over there for who knows what. They're keeping you free. They're keeping you free. They're keeping you free. That's the line in it. You've got freedom because they went to Afghanistan. I'm not trying to be, you know, whatever here, but U.S. freedom hasn't hinged on us going to Afghanistan. And if people want to bring up 9/11, then they can shut up, because clearly the one country that's ever pointed back to is our big buddies, Saudi Arabia. And they do nothing. They just get rewarded. Hillary Clinton's taken, what, $25 million? Or the Clinton Foundation's taken $25 million from Saudi Arabia?
Crazy.
United States. It's insane. I tell you, I want to go over, we were talking about Russia, and I just want to hit a couple of the headlines. Russia is expanding. It's got a naval base in Syria. It's expanding and making it permanent. It's been there for, what, I think it's been a while. Years. Yeah, 45 years it's been there. So it's kind of already permanent, but they're expanding it substantially. So they're not planning on going anywhere in Syria anytime soon. They're also running joint drills with Egypt, and I'm sure you saw this, Kevin, where Putin and Erdogan in Turkey, they've kind of buried the hatchet. And they're going to try to work together as well.
Not surprising.
So, and yet, we're sitting here accusing Russia of war crimes, which, look, there's no telling what's going on over there. I think all sides are wrong in this. I think it's just needless, senseless killing.
But speaking of war crimes, you see the clip of the State Department being asked to name specific places. You know, the U.S. State Department is claiming that amongst the war crimes, it was bombing hospitals. And so the U.S. State Department has been asked several times in several press conferences to name the actual location. And get this, they refuse to do so, will not give any details, but yet stick to that same song and dance that Russia is potentially bombing citizens. It is so, it's kind of to the point where, did you ever think that you get to the point, I'm sure your grandparents never did, my grandparents, those that lived through, like you said, the 60s earlier, did you ever think that they would envision a time from what they were going through when they would look to the future and potentially see the Russian government as at least the defender of a particular country's sovereignty against, however that's played out, but against the United States? I mean, did you ever, it just seems such a crazy world that we're living in, that we've gotten to this point where Putin is seen as some so-called peacemaker, as that banner that we saw hung over the bridge.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think anybody ever expected this. And I think a lot of it is, it's been coming for a while, but nobody saw it coming because everybody believes the propaganda, and it's just gotten so out of control. The United States is so entrenched in the Middle East. They're everywhere. It's just, it's nuts. It's out of control. And what do they say about Syria? Well, we don't have troops there. We just got special forces. Are they robots? What are special forces? You know, sounds like troops. You're just calling them by a different name. We just got special forces.
Right. And ISIS is doing pretty well over there, of course, too. Boko Haram. All these different places flourishing. Everywhere that the U.S. seems to go and get involved with nation building, of course, no big surprise. We see only what the building of terrorist cells and more destruction, chaos, death. I don't know if you guys saw, I think the anti-media ran a story about it, that the FBI actually had a secret report. I didn't get to dive too far into it, but basically it detailed basically what many of us knew. It runs counter to the thing that we've been told since 9/11 and before, you know, the whole narrative that they hate us for our freedoms, that's the reason why these so-called terrorists are killing Americans and bombing places. You know, nothing could be further from the truth. And now we've got a report out that the FBI themselves are saying that it is actually the U.S. military's interventions and actions abroad that are actually making these terrorists do their thing and enraging, causing them to actually act. So, you know, it's more the it's that kind of information that we need to see starting to be leaked out along with all the other WikiLeaks stuff. That's the stuff that I really want to see leaked a lot more so than Trump talking about grabbing some girl by whatever right. means he can.
But you know, I think it goes, what is it, the Mark Twain quote? It's easier to convince somebody. What's the quote? It's easier to convince somebody that something's a lie than to convince, I don't know what it is.
You get it. I know. I've heard it, right. I do.
Yeah. But because people believe what they believe, they don't want to admit that they've been fooled. They don't want to admit that, whoops, they fell for the lie, and so they just run with it. Here's the thing about especially Trump. Because he talks over and over and over, we're going to make the military bigger, better, greater than it's ever been. How about we just bring people home? How about we start trying to save lives instead of
pouring more money into something that has done nothing but cause destruction on people here in this country, on people in other countries. I don't get it. I don't get how anybody can say we're going to save money by pouring more money into something we already spend the most amount of money of what we spend our money on. We're going to just spend more on it. That blows my mind. Especially people that call themselves conservative. What do you think the word conservative means? It means to conserve. No, not when it comes to the military. More. We need more bombs. It makes no sense.
You know, you mentioned you don't trust Trump. You don't trust what he says. I don't either. And I'll be honest with you. I think that is one of the things that he is just using as a talking point. You know, he's not going to get anywhere with his so-called conservative American right if he's not at least every few minutes throwing some bones to the hard right nationalists. And he's obviously, he plays that part very well, but I don't think so. I don't think that's the action he's going to take when he gets in there. You know, he is a businessman, shady or not. I think he can look at a balance sheet and tell that, hey, you know, the U.S., and this is one of Pence's talking points. He brought this same thing up, which kind of answers maybe part of what you referenced to why people can argue that we need such a military when there's conservatives. But we've got we're told this is the smallest military we've had since, 1920s, 1930s and 40s. And that seems to be the semantics people are using to push this narrative that the military is so small. I don't think Donald Trump's going to get in there and expand it any more than any other president would. I think if anybody was going to actually put a halt on it, on some of the shenanigans, I think Donald Trump actually might do it. Not by any kind of, not because of the good of his heart for any means or any kind of ideological stance, but probably I can imagine just because it doesn't seem to be something that money needs to be spent on. I see him spending a lot more money inside the country than out. But, that's probably wishful thinking, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And he's got to, for whatever reason, he's holding his line on Russia. Because, everybody's accusing him of being in bed with Russia. Now, that's one thing. As much as I do not like Donald Trump, I do not for one second believe that he is in bed with Russia to get elected. I think that's an absolute joke.
And there would be so much proof of that, of any kind of connections. If there were any kind of conversations, there would be so much, leftist green Glenn Greenwalds out of the world that really want to bring down Trump. That stuff would be out there immediately accessible. They wouldn't be digging for, 11 and 12 year old statements that Trump made.
Oh yeah, they could, if that was there, they could use it. They could actually bring him down. You're right. They wouldn't be looking for this, TMZ style kind of stuff. Real quick, I know most people probably didn't hear about it, but the U.S. there was actually two missiles fired at a U.S. Navy warship. I guess it was Sunday night, and a Saudi military base, the USS Mason, did not attack. It did not hit the naval ship, but it was coming from Yemeni rebels, because we are kind of gray area at war with Yemen. We are and we aren't. The Saudis are carrying it out, but we're funding it every step of the way and providing them all the weapons necessary to just blow that country to smithereens. What's really crazy is when they got put on, when Saudi Arabia got put on the UN Human Rights Council or whatever, and they were put on the list where they were killing so many innocent children, I think, and they got pulled off, less than 24 hours later. It was pretty fast. They got pulled off. And the head of the UN said, well, the reason I had to is because they give so much money to human rights in these other countries that if we would have not done it, they would have pulled those funds. And he says, we just kind of have to let them do whatever they want because it's better to help these people over here than not.
So it's like they've held everybody hostage with how much money they have, and they do literally just get to do what they want because they, you know, and that's how everything works, isn't it? When you got the most money, you just threaten to pull it, and you know that hurts other people. So I don't know.
You know, they also tried that about the lawsuit about the 28 pages, but about the 9/11 family suing the Saudi reps, Saudi government. Yeah, that's what, remember that they tried to do the same thing, said they were going to pull all those assets, but
I don't know. It seemed like the I didn't wake up and see the world collapse yesterday, so not that it's not coming, that's for sure.
Do you think anything's going to actually come to fruition with these lawsuits? Do you think that's going to go anywhere, or do you think that's just going to kind of fade away?
No, they'll probably be settled. I think I remember reading that the government still reserved like some right to basically like hold up the process in the middle of it if they saw that it still basically would endanger relationships or national security. So there's still, of course, like a big stop that the federal government has allowed to exist. So yeah, it's probably nothing. I don't see a lot of good coming from it.
No, I don't, but so I'm going to, I guess with the last, 10 minutes or so we've got, I'm going to address a little bit more on the WikiLeaks, all the information that's coming out. Now, one thing I will say, I have never been one to defend anything about Hillary Clinton. But there's an email going around that says she hates everyday Americans. If you read that email in its entirety, it really appears like they're actually just talking about the terminology of using everyday Americans in speeches. And it doesn't actually... Now, maybe she probably does actually hate everyday Americans. That wouldn't shock me in any way, shape, or form. But just in the context of the leaked email, it seems like... They're all talking. Say what? But it seems like they're talking about the term everyday Americans in speeches. So that's kind of irked me because, you know, there's some of the, pro-Trumpers out there that are throwing that around. She hates everyday Americans. She probably actually does. But in this case, I think it was something benign. So that's just something that's been irking me all day long. Other than that, she is a criminal and should probably be in jail. And I don't even think probably about it. What's been your favorite thing that's come out in the leak so far? The most 86. Interesting thing. Oh, yeah, with the Blink on 82, dude.
Yeah, I mean, was it Net Zero Energy and UFOs?
Yeah, I didn't go too deep into that, but I saw that Podesta and the guy from Blink-182 were corresponding about UFOs. But I've always heard Podesta's really into that.
He has, and in fact, Lawrence Rockefeller, way back, like 20, 30 years ago, the Rockefellers had been involved, of course, with the UFO stuff, but the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton's administration, during that, they pressed at that time. It was being pressed for release of various UFO documents, supposedly. But the Clintons that were big UFO fanatics, apparently, as was Lawrence Rockefeller. And Lawrence Rockefeller was the one that really was trying to pressure the Clintons to release this information. But it was only just a few months ago that John Podesta, I think he tweeted out something about it was kind of a kind of maybe tongue in cheek, but in reference to the X-Files, something about the truth is still out there. Or something to that degree, but of course that made everybody else turn their heads as well. But who knows? I think it's interesting stuff. I'm definitely a believer, but I guess we'll see.
That's one thing I've never gone down that path. It's never interested me. It just kind of is what it is. Maybe not. Whatever. That's kind of how I've always thought about it.
I don't blame it. You know, I've met a few people that, in fact, my wife's mother was somebody who I highly respect, extremely educated, doctor, And she told me a story one night about a personal experience seeing some particular craft. But that kind of really made me pause and think. But, you know, YouTube, there's so much stuff on YouTube, you know, that stuff that will fool you easily. But it just seems like there's so much stuff that even other governments around the world, Guadalajara, the Mexican government actually had some videotape that they had released of their military supposedly chasing these crafts. And so anyways, I think it's interesting when other governments, as much as I distrust governments in general, when they actually come out and speak about these particular events that go on around the world and some of these other hot spots and places. I think, like you said, not necessarily something everybody goes into or gets into, and I think it's a little interesting, but I always think it's even more interesting when the U.S. government or a member of decides to drop information and to use it. Did you see that Rolling Stone ran an article that Hillary Clinton's campaign said that she will push for that she will release UFO files if she's elected president?
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, it's what's that they're using. That's obviously, to me, that seems like, I mean, WikiLeaks dropped.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they just twisted and ran with it. But, I mean, that seems like such a desperate ploy to grab headlines. It'll be interesting to see if it actually works.
Speaking of things that should be grabbing headlines, how did you feel about her email said, which is, you know, it's almost a yawn because you know it's true, but saying that she has a public position and a private position. But as an example, Hillary Clinton in some of her paid speeches was bragging about how she's all for fracking and thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. That's certainly not what she says in public.
Right. Well, apparently that is, and her feelings on gay marriage. You know, you would think that her supporters, you know, at what point do her supporters realize that she is literally, quite literally full of shit? I mean, she is, you know, I can at least see why people, you know, grab onto and follow Bernie and would follow Bernie to the grave. But Hillary Clinton, I mean, really? I mean, what kind of ideology do you have to think that this woman is any kind of symbol or any kind of carrier or beholden of any kind of justice that any of us should even aspire to look up to? It's just, what a lady. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. As much as I disagreed about Bernie on policy stuff, which was a lot, I think he believed that stuff. I think he was pretty sincere.
Oh, he did. He was definitely a believer. I mean, look at him. He took it up. He bent over for the Clintons and stayed in it. Just, I think, obviously for the plane and the gifts. But I think he really wants to make sure that even if he got screwed over, he wants to make sure that another Democrat took his place, and it was a Democrat doing it, not a Republican, and it was Hillary Clinton specifically and not Donald. So, yeah, I think he definitely believes it.
I don't believe that's how that went down. I believe he just looked a little too dejected at that convention when he handed those votes over to her. And he said just what the night before he did that we're going to have a vote. And I think Bernie was – they explained some things to Bernie about how it was going to go. I don't think he had a choice.
Oh, no, I'm sure not. No, that's what I mean. But, I mean, I still think that he was – I don't think he was – he had near the problem, and he wasn't going to fuss about it whatsoever. You know, I figure he just bite the bullet and deal with it. But I still think that he's glad that he's at least getting up there and that his side is winning. I think he's – like you said, he's a believer.
I don't think he thinks his side's winning. I really don't. I genuinely don't believe that. I don't think he thinks it.
I don't think that he thinks that. But I'm saying, as long as he is on that side, as long as that's the side that he's pushing, I don't think he cares that he gets screwed over by the party. As long as he's continues to push that ideology,
right?
So yeah, but just more to the point that he's a true believer.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Now, what I don't understand is how any Bernie supporter out there can vote for her. If I was a Bernie person, I would have gone to Jill Stein. I would have gone somewhere else. But it wouldn't have been her. First off, let's forget everything they did to him. They screwed him out of the election. There's no telling what actually happened and how all that went down. But to me, the most obvious thing is Tim Kaine seems like just a buffoon bumbling around. Do you realize the votes that she would have gotten by making Bernie Sanders her vice president? We wouldn't even be having a conversation about this election right now, because all Bernie's people would be voting for her. That's not going to happen now. But it's such a slap in his face to say, yeah, we know you get all the support, but we don't care. We could care less about your supporters or you. We don't need them. Okay. To me, that's just such an insult that they did not put him as the vice president. Policy, not policy, anything. Look, Reagan and Bush Sr. hated each other's guts. The Kennedys and Johnson hated each other's guts. But, you know, those may be really bad examples considering both those presidents suffered unfortunate events. And, you know, their vice presidents stood to take over. But I don't think Bernie's that kind of guy. I don't think he would have done that. I mean, I just can't believe that they didn't put Bernie on the ticket. I think that was such a slap in the face. And it shows how orchestrated everything that Hillary's done, how orchestrated it is. It's not like they just, you know, 6 months ago came up with, hey, let's make Tim Kaine the vice president. I think when he was the head of the DNC before Wasserman Schultz, this was the plan this whole time. I think they hijacked the DNC a long time ago to make sure everything went their way. Wasserman Schultz might as well have been the head of Hillary Clinton's campaign the entire time. Now, she eventually became the honorary head of her campaign, but she was basically serving the function of that role as the head of the Democratic Party. It just looks like it's a convoluted mess is what it is, and it looks like it was hijacked and rigged, and this was planned out a long time ago. And there's still a part of me that thinks that Trump was the final piece to her plan, that this guy, she'll get her buddy to go run. There's still a part of me that thinks that's a possibility. Now, you know, what's the truth of that? I don't know. I have no idea. But she certainly seemed to have dotted all her I's and crossed all her T's with everything else. Why would she leave it open to lose? I said many times, Nick said it, I believe Rubio was supposed to be the guy. I think as horrible as he was, I think it had just been another Bush-style presidency. I think it was set up for Rubio to become president. She would never, ever, ever, ever have beaten Marco Rubio in a million years. He was young, he's got young kids, he's got a pretty wife. We live in a very superficial society. They could have never have called him racist like they do with every other Republican. It would have been just absolute landslide. So she got her friend, possibly, to come in there, talk down to everybody, and, you know, get the nomination for her to walk into the White House. Is that what's happened? I have no idea. I think it's a theory. I think it's a possibility. And, you know, we shall see. At this point, it's all just we shall see. Because it's definitely going to get crazier. Who knows where we're going to be in a month's time. People are forgetting about stuff that happened a week ago. We were talking about Trump's tax returns a week ago. That's not even an issue now. Like, tax returns? What's that? There's video.
Well, they knew that wouldn't last. Later.
Anyway, that's it for Anti-Media Radio. I'm S.M. Gibson. We'll be back on Thursday. Nick will be here tomorrow night. Anti-Media Radio out. Yo, here we go through the stereo.